Hello, Nightmare Society. This week I'm continuing some of the episodes that have been lost and recovered in my True Horror Story library. A big thank you goes out to user Perda Vengral and user Kenarok for allowing me to share their stories. And sorry it took so long, guys. Before we get started, don't forget to share the podcast with like-minded individuals. And for all of you who have been asking, I finally started a Patreon. I'll provide more details about that at the end of the podcast. Also, follow me on Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio and Twitter at Society_Radio. And I would love to see your true horror story in my inbox at nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
Back in college, my friends and I got into the habit of exploring abandoned buildings. We've seen some incredible places and have gotten some pretty cool souvenirs. I don't really condone taking stuff from the buildings, but if it's about to be torn down and contractors have taken out everything they deem to be worth something, then I'll gladly take that depression glass they left behind. I digress. It's a small group of friends that goes exploring with me, and I love introducing new people to it. A friend of mine had asked me on several occasions if I could take him somewhere because he never went exploring before. I decided to take him to an old paper factory that didn't have much inside, but had an absolutely beautiful view of the city from the roof. Also, it was incredibly easy to get in and out of. We went with a few other people, but two of my friends had decided to wait outside for us, since they had been in the building a few too many times to find it interesting anymore. As we went to climb inside, a drunk couple came out. Not unusual. A lot of people use the buildings to smoke, drink, or paint in. And we asked if there were many people inside. They said they thought it was mostly empty, but they heard someone banging around a few floors up that startled them out. They said he sounded angry and maybe we should avoid the roof. Since we weren't there to drink or anything, the roof was our only goal. We decided to take our chances and head up. After all, it's a massive building, and we didn't think we would run into the guy. We walk up 10 flights of stairs and then climb the ladder to the roof. My friend is impressed and the view is awesome. As we are about to head back down, my friend waiting on the street calls us. He says that a man has passed out in the street and the two of them pulled him out of the way of traffic and called an ambulance for him. They suggest we wait it out on the roof to avoid exiting the building while the cops are there. Neither of us can afford the $5,000 fine or 2 weeks jail time just for looking at the city from an abandoned building. We wait, but we probably shouldn't have waited on the roof. We get the all clear from my friend to come back down and we head to the ladder. My friend goes first and then our flashlight dies. The ladder is tricky to get onto when you can't see it, and it's missing some rungs. So I come down very slowly in the dark, afraid of hurting myself. I hop down and my friend tells me very quietly that he hears someone in the room next to us. I shrug it off. We already know people are in the building. Then the screaming starts. At first, it almost sounds like one of my friends who waited outside yelling my name. I hesitate at the top of the stairs, just outside the door of the room the screaming is coming from, trying to decide if it's him and he's playing some sort of prank. The guy I came into the building with grabs my wrists and we start running down the stairs. At this point, it's obvious it's not my friend, and it's just a guttural, intense screaming. We start running down the stairs and then hear really loud banging to go with the screaming. It sounds like this guy has a very heavy object that he's swinging at the walls and exposed pipes with. There's only one flight of stairs, because every other way out is out of order freight elevators. So we are trapped in this stairwell, and it's 10 flights till we reach the ground floor and have to book it to the opposite side of this factory and back out of the hole we climbed through. Besides screaming and swinging that heavy object, we hear him barreling down the stairs behind us. But he is at least one floor behind. Whatever he's using to hit the walls and pipes with is clearly enough to do some damage to our skulls, because a bit of brick chipped off the wall and it followed us down the steps. That's when my friend grabs my wrist again and throws me through the nearest door. We've only made it down 3 floors, and at the beginning of each flight of stairs, there's one door that opens into the entire level. In other words, it is painfully obvious where we've gone. After flying into this room, we notice it has been gutted, like every other floor. But more of the windows are boarded up and it's very dark. All that's in the room to hide behind are some pillars. We get behind one and huddle together. This guy stops outside the doorway to the room we're in and he is still screaming. It's terrifying. Then he starts swinging his weapon around and slamming it into the door frame. We're sure he's gonna come in, and the only way out is the door he's currently standing in. Neither one of us ever look around the pillar to see the guy, and we have no idea what his weapon is. Nearly 4 minutes pass and he hasn't stopped screaming. For whatever reason, he doesn't come into the room we're in, but starts running down the stairs. We can hear him hitting pipes and smacking the walls, and we just wait. We have 7 floors to go down, and we could pass him in any doorway on the way down. Eventually, the screaming and the banging stops, but we think we should wait. That's when we hear something from a different corner in our room. There's just enough light from a window in the back that hasn't been boarded up, and we see a figure get up off the floor. This person has been in the room with us the entire 7 or 8 minutes we've been in here, and they haven't let on until now. This person, who's in front of the only light source, so we just see a totally black figure, is now shuffling towards us without making a sound. It is exactly like a zombie movie. And we run. We don't bother to find out what this person's deal is, and temporarily forget about the first clearly dangerous guy. For an asthmatic, I hauled butt down the stairs and never paused to catch my breath even once. As we're reaching the bottom of the stairwell, the screaming starts again. It's coming from the room next to us, but we don't stop running. The hole in the wall that we climbed through to get into the building is yards away, and this man comes crashing out of the room from behind us. We never look back and climb through the hole so fast I don't even remember doing it. Our 2 friends are waiting for us and we throw ourselves into the car. They ask what happened because apparently that man was so loud they could hear him screaming and breaking things from outside the building. They thought we were making all the noise, and they were going to give it a few minutes before calling us to remind us that the police were still patrolling the area for drunk, underage college students, and we should probably be more quiet. We tell them what happened and then decide to carry on with our plans for the night because a beer was totally necessary after that. Real quick, guys, I wanted to thank Best Fiends for sponsoring today's episode. Since I last mentioned the game, I seriously have not stopped playing. I am all the way at level 149 now. I've acquired some new characters, and I love the challenge of building up their strengths to use for different puzzle strategies in the game. The funny thing is, I'm like a zombie for the first 3 hours of the day. I have a truly terrible time waking up in the morning. Always have. But I've actually been using this to help boot my brain up and get it going for the day. Complete a few levels, and I'm feeling pretty accomplished by the time I get my coffee. So engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters with Best Fiends. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. I was around 15 at the time this occurred. I was camping out in the middle of nowhere with my family and part of my extended family, my aunt, uncle, and cousins. I was the oldest kid there in the RV, so you can probably understand how it felt to have no one else to do stupid crap I did back then with. With a good 2-year gap between me and the inferiors, it was almost like nirvana when I got to the campground and met the other teenagers. These were all people we knew fairly well from previous camping trips, so it was considered normal to hit it off with them from the start and act like we've known each other forever, within the hour. My parents trusted me a lot, not a lie. I liked my fun, but I liked getting home in time for dinner equally as much. So when I was gone most of the day with the other people from the camp, they didn't think much of it. The only rule was that I had to be back to the RV to eat dinner, and before 8:30 p.m. So picture this. A group of 6 teenagers, 15 to 16 years old, out in the middle of the woods with no adult supervision for the vast majority of the day. Just a recipe for success right there. But this particular day, we found a neat little deer trail we hadn't found in the 2 years we'd been there before. On second thought, though, it didn't really seem like a deer trail. It snaked through a really thick part of the underbrush, maybe a foot of clear ground, about 30 centimeters, and 3.5 feet or 1 meter clear of branches going upwards. It's a really hard thing to pick out of the brush unless you're either looking or know where it is. It was promptly explored, marked with a broken branch outside of the entrance and quickly forgotten. Except I remembered this special little tunnel. That night while we were all eating dinner, one of the adults proposed that we played manhunt out in the woods. At night. Not everyone was totally on board with this idea, but in the grand scheme of the plan, they were quashed down like autumn leaves. Everyone got a flashlight, and everyone was assigned to a team. For those of you who aren't sure what manhunt is, here's an explanation. Everyone playing is given a flashlight, and they're divided into two groups. It's basically like glorified flashlight tag. But there's a catch. As you catch people, you have to correctly identify who they are. And if you do, they join forces with the hunters. The last man standing gets a candy bar or something. Whatever is being offered as a prize. This is how we played it anyways. For the first round, I get lumped in with the runners. Those who are getting chased by the hunters. We get a 5-minute head start to run, climb a tree, whatever the heck we want to do to evade the hunters. Usually I'm the one up in the tree, but that never really worked out as being the winning spot. So to try and score a win for once, I decide to play the cat and use one surefire method of escape. And the hiding spot was the rude little path through the thicket. It took most of the head start time to find the dang thing because it was so well hidden and out of the way. As I passed hiding spots, I heard hushed, smothered whispering between siblings who were questioning my actions, like a bird's wings rustling when it's fluffing itself. It should be noted that I have bat-like hearing. My ears are possibly my greatest asset in this game. But when I'm just reaching the destination, I hear the short blast of the air horn announcing that the 5 minutes are up. I swan dove into this minute little path in the undergrowth, shuffling on my hands and knees until I'm about halfway in, crouching down like some huge malformed quail. The hunters are doing an initial sweep through the trails, looking for obvious hiders and people caught out trying to change spots. When they finally reach me, they reach the dead end and go straight back. I try to readjust myself and crawl further down the tunnel. I honestly don't know how it happened, but I found an even more hidden path within that one. And accidentally, I dragged my stupid body down the rabbit hole. Except instead of ending in a dead end, this one ended in a slight hollow. I don't ever want to describe exactly what I found there. I'm sorry, but I just can't. It was a younger-looking woman, naked, covered in lacerations and stab wounds in the fetal position. Her glassy, glazed eyes seemed to look straight through me. I won't go any further than that. I was too scared to scream, and I froze there while in the dark. Burgundy stains formed on my jeans. I froze there in a pseudo-catatonic position, like a marble carving for what felt like hours. And then I heard someone else coming along the path. Have you ever been so scared that for one moment, one insane moment, you truly consider something incredibly stupid as a viable option to escape? That was one of those times. I let out a short, trembling whimper and started moving. Whoever was on the path stopped, and then eagerly started moving forward again. I could hear their panting, uneven breaths of a man, a horrible marker of whoever it was getting closer and closer to me by the second. By some wondrous, beautiful miracle, he missed the path leading to the brushy hollow. I heard him moving down past the entrance, dragging something clunky and awkward behind him. I heard clinking noises and the occasional effort to silence the small, sharp noises. I heard a low curse somewhere towards the end of the tunnel, and I blasted out of the undergrowth like a bullet forcing its way out of a barrel. Cracks, clashes, and obnoxious rustling was all around me as I heard the man sharply intake a breath and begin to move towards me. The hoarse, deep panting that was getting closer and closer to me, a testament to how I was too slow at exiting. Somehow I exploded out of the entrance, got onto my wobbly, half-asleep legs, and started booking it down the trail. The unknown pursuer was close behind me for a bit, but it seemed like he was too exhausted to chase me at the same speed for long. I know everyone loves to rip on the fact that people always trip in horror movies, but in all honesty, tripping is something I am amazed I did not do. With adrenaline coursing through me at the speed of Usain Bolt, trying to make my jello-like, unsteady walking appendages work to move me away from whoever was behind me, was like trying to run on water. It felt like an eternity, but I finally reached the main trail running back to the camp and sprinted down its screaming bloody murder. Confused faces looked out from the trees, and I think someone called after me. Reaching the camp was easy, but trying to explain why I woke up half the people in the camp and bolted out of the woods at breakneck speed was harder. When I finally choked the words out to explain, I remember a profound, insidious silence throughout the group of adults waiting at the mouth of the trail. I really don't remember a whole lot from that point on. I know the cops were called, and my mother and aunt ran shrieking and wailing along the trail, calling for the other kids to come back to safety. When someone's yelling like that, you don't ignore it. They rounded everyone up in 30 seconds flat and barreled back into the camp. The police found a man out in the woods, creeping along the trail, clutching a knife. A black garbage bag with a plethora of sharp instruments and a saw was found abandoned on the trail, some speckled and smeared with dried blood. I don't think there's really any getting over it. I still have nightmares sometimes of the man chasing me, breathing heavily down the back of my neck, trying to catch me. Sometimes he succeeds. Thanks so much to user Perta Van Graal and user Kennel Rock for sharing their stories with us. As a reminder, I now have a Patreon, so if you're interested in early access to commercial-free episodes, bonus episodes, more interaction, being able to vote on content, as well as access to a members-only Patreon feed, which I plan on sharing the creepy stuff I run across, as well as the links to Reddit stories I've been denied narration to, and, you know, just whatever creepy stuff I find. You can find all that and more there. I've got 4 tiers set up, so you should be able to find one that fits your desired contribution level. I'm working on merch as well, and those who are part of the members-only campfire will always be the ones first in on what's going on with the podcast. So go check out www.patreon.com/Nightmare Society to see if you'd like to become a member of the Nightmare Society. A link will also be in the description, of course. As usual, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio and Twitter at Society_Radio. And please send your true horror stories to NightmareSocietyRadio@gmail.com. Now that I've said Nightmare Society Radio about 4,000 times, thank you for listening. And until next time,
sweet dreams.